Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Culls Church. Debbie has got something to explain about nativity characters in shop windows in our parish.
In the weeks running up to Christmas now, we're having a nativity trail in some of the shops and businesses in Culls and Bealdside. It's they're all characters from the nativity story, and they're knitted. So if you see other characters that are not knitted, they're not part of it. These are all knitted. They'll be there right up till Christmas Eve, although I might have to take some out on the 23rd because they're shutting. So you just have to find out which shop they're hidden in and write it on a form. And I've got some of these forms, and hopefully they'll all be gathered up here for the 7 o'clock Christmas Eve service.
All right. As you came in, you receive one of these cards for our Christmas tree festival, which is in a week's time. Could you give it away to a friend, a neighbour, the family next door, and invite them to come? We know what it's like. The doors are open for a week. People can come in for peace, for quiet, to ponder the season in a different way from the high street. So please pass these on. Also, as is part of our Advent worship, we have a service in 10 days' time for families who have lost a loved one in the course of the last year or further back. That invitation is open to all, of course, but there are some little invitation cards. And if there's somebody that you would like to invite to that service, please take the cards from the table and you can sign it and pass it on yourself. Other things to mention from Anne Middleton, who's overseeing the Christmas tree rota, so that they're stewarding. Any help would be appreciated. The rota is in the main hall. You can see it at coffee time. We're carol singing for the second and last time at Drum Garden Centre next Saturday between 12 and 2. There was a wonderful turnout yesterday. We sang this season. People are amazed that we're there. And we're also raising money for Christian Aid. Come and share in it. It's a joy. It really is. Our evening service is tonight at 6 o'clock when the sun goes down. Next Saturday morning is our Christmas coffee morning at the church centre. And I thought I'd put this in the magazine and I hadn't. John and I like to open up the Mass in Advent and just hope that you'll come and share. That is next Sunday. Any time between 1 and 6, all ages and dogs, anybody, just come to the manse next Sunday, share in our Advent Christmas joy. Next Sunday afternoon, you will be very welcome indeed. We are pilgrims, always, journeying homewards. May God walk with us along those roads. We look for peace and we cry for justice. May God make us peacemakers in our day. We wait and we long for the coming of Jesus. May God fill us with wonder and with great hope. This is the season of Advent. Great promises are remembered, great dreams are embraced, and God does not forget. Nor does Mary in her song of praise and prayer, Hymn 286, Tell Out My Soul.
Thank you. Well, boys and girls, are you excited about anything coming up soon? Yeah, Callum? Christmas! I never expected that answer to that. Christmas? Is everyone else excited for Christmas? Yes. Sarah, what are you excited about? Getting presents? Yes. I hear you got a present fairly recently. Do you have a new baby sister? Yeah? Are you excited about that? How long did you have to wait to get your baby sister? 9 months. That's a long time to wait. Very good. Have we all been waiting a long time for Christmas? When did you guys start getting excited about Christmas? Was that last week, Kel? Yeah, the 30th of November. Is that when we're allowed to get excited for Christmas? See, I'm from America and we have Thanksgiving, so you're not allowed to get excited about Christmas until after Thanksgiving. And that's kind of the rule. I've got something that gets me excited about Christmas. So if you guys want to see this, come up and have a look. This is my Advent calendar. I've got a Lego Advent calendar. One of the really cool things about this Advent calendar is it has a little scene. So when I open up all of the doors, see, I've opened up three already. Well, maybe we'll get to open the fourth today. We have a little scene. And now an Advent calendar helps us count down, especially these, help us count down the days till Christmas Day. So it's kind of funny, they're all out of order. So there's number four, but we did number one, number two, number three. What would happen if I just opened them all at once on the first? What would I wouldn't have anything to do the rest of the day,
wouldn't
I?
You would know when Christmas was.
Yeah, well then I it would be the second and I would think it was Christmas. I wouldn't have anything, I wouldn't have hope, I wouldn't have anticipation. So why don't we open number four? Fraser, why don't you come and open number four? Pushing, yeah, there you go. Just go for it. Well then, what do we have? Oh, looks like we've got a road worker. We've got to put him together. I won't open him up because his pieces might go everywhere, but we've got a little guy here on the fourth. That's exciting. See, I think we're going to get all of these. I think he's this guy.
Yeah, he might get it.
It's exciting. I am excited about Christmas as well. I'm hopeful that Christmas will be a good time. Do you guys know what hope is? Who can tell me what hope is? It's not just the name of the girl in your class. Anyone want to tell me what hope is? I'll define hope like this for you. Hope is excitement for something good and believing that it's going to turn out for the best. Hope is being excited for something good and believing it's going to turn out for the best. I am excited. I'm hopeful for Christmas. Because I believe that Jesus is coming. Because not just Santa. Santa's coming and bringing presents, and that's exciting. That's really good. But Jesus was born on Christmas. And our world needs Jesus. Our world needs the hope that Jesus brings. The hope that this world is not doomed. That this world is not going to be sad forever. Jesus brings us hope that he can save the world every year. Every year. And that hope is amazing. That gets me excited for Christmas. I'm excited for Santa, and I'm excited for counting down the days till Christmas Day because of Jesus. And that is the most wonderful and exciting thing we can get on Christmas, right? So I'm going to put my little figure together later on today. Thank you for helping me open it. I hope you guys enjoy your own Advent calendars, and you guys can go ahead and have a seat. We will continue our worship now with a special from our choir. We're excited to have them share a song with us today. Oh yes. Sarah, come on up here. Where are we? Are there matches? Or do we use them? Perfect. All right, Sarah. We need to light one of the red candles. All right. Here you go. Take this. Now pick one of the red candles that's not lit. This is a candle for hope. There you go, that's perfect. That's there. Thank you. Very well done. Go ahead, have a seat.
All over the place this morning. I'm not quite sure why. And the service has got lots of individual bits. I'm not quite sure if there's a thread running through it as such. But it is a season of Advent. There is, as Peter was mentioning, that sense of excitement, that sense of hope. That alone is enough reason for us to be in this place. Let us offer our Lord our prayers of adoration. Let's pray. This Advent season, Lord, is the strangest of seasons. We who pride ourselves on our sophistication, smirk at talk of angels, sniff at a virgin birth, shrug at stories of wise men, and yet we believe, absurdly, that we can spend with impunity in our tinsel-strewn shops, that the wounds and misunderstandings of family life can be glossed over with a gift voucher and the promise of January sales. And so, Lord, as we make our way through this beautiful and mysterious and fraught season, we ask for your guidance. For we are not sure if our Christmas lights twinkle with hope or denial. How, Lord, can we navigate through such a strange landscape? What star can guide us? What compass can stay true? The shepherds, we are told, made haste to find their way to Bethlehem, and Mary, we are told, quietly pondered over events after the Magi had left. Well, Lord, we know we're good at the haste thing. We know that. left to our own devices, this Advent season too easily takes off into a frenzy of preparation and crash lands in exhaustion and argument. So teach us, please, about the pondering thing. We are not too old to learn. After all, that is why we are here, because we are not yet the people we can be. Teach us about pondering, about being still, which we understand is not the same as laziness. Teach us to ponder on the mystery of God becoming man, of heaven embracing earth, of eternity wrapping itself around mortality. And awed by such mysteries, may we then rediscover the joy of this season and its excitement. And may we see your hand in the winter landscape and hear your voice in the greeting of friends and find in our hearts a desire to heal what can be healed and to thank those whose lives and love are the secret foundations of our life. And no less, Lord God, we thank you for the precious, fragile gift of faith by which we see this bewildering and beautiful world as yours, dipped in eternity and shot through with possibility. That would be a start, Lord, a start in our journey through Advent. So please teach us about being still. That way, even the hurrying might be fun. Amen. Our scriptures are read this morning by Karen Fitzgerald.
Today's readings are from the Good News Bible, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee named Nazareth. He had a message for a young woman promised in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. Her name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Peace be with you. The Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you." Mary was deeply troubled by the angel's message, and she wondered what his words meant. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God has been gracious to you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him a king as his ancestor David was, and he will be the king of the descendants of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary said to the angel, "I am a virgin. How then can this be?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and God's power will rest upon you. For this reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. Remember your relative Elizabeth. It is said that she cannot have children, but she herself is now 6 months pregnant, even though she is very old. For it is nothing that God cannot do." "I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it happen to me as you have said." And the angel left her.
How to refuse an angel. And he came to her and he said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting that might be. Smart girl to have pondered the greeting. But he said it with such charm and innocence. He was obviously a pro. And he told her a wondrous story of what might be. She was chosen, perfect for the job. She would conceive and carry a son. She immediately started with her counter moves. How can this be? I'm only a girl, and I don't know anything about men yet. I can't be a mother. I'm still a child. She thought that body blow would end it, but it only just begun. He sighed in that unnervingly understanding way. Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. He must have sensed weakness because he went on, nothing will be impossible with God. And there she was, stitched up, or so she felt. So she went along with him, and she saw the possibilities of what he meant. And she said, yes. She was a blessing, and she was blessed. Strange how that works out. The choice she made that day brought hard times. Times when she had to really trust and grow, but he, her child, taught her things she never would have, could never have learned anywhere else. He taught her about love. Love that doesn't depend on what you do or don't do, but just loves. He taught her about power, real power that comes from being brave enough to allow yourself to be completely vulnerable. He taught her about forgiveness, not a token trivial, don't worry about it, but a Father, forgive them, they do not know what they're doing. That kind of forgiveness that resurrects dead lives. And because of her, yes, he taught us as well. And the whole world is resurrected through him, all because she believed that nothing is impossible with God. So what will you do next time it happens? Because it will. It will. What will you do when you get tapped on the shoulder and someone says, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you? After you've pondered what sort of greeting this might be, what will you do? Will you plan your counter moves and dodge the question? Will you come up with a really good, incredibly legitimate reason for telling them they've got the wrong person? Or will you believe that nothing is impossible with God and say yes? Being a blessing somehow blesses you. Strange how that works out. We share a hymn about Mary, hymn 287. No wind at the window.
We continue at Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. Soon afterwards, Mary got ready and hurried off to a town in the hill country of Judea. She went into Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby moved within her. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and said in a loud voice, "You are the most blessed of all women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Why should this great thing happen to me that my Lord's mother comes to visit me? For as soon as I heard your greeting, the baby within me jumped with gladness. How happy you are to believe that the Lord's message to you will come true." Thanks be to God for these readings from his holy word.
Before I start the message today, I would like to say that it is written from the literal viewpoint of the virgin birth, as described in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. I just really wanted to say that I acknowledge that some people don't necessarily believe in the literal translation. And if you're one of them, I hope that despite that, you'll be enriched by the message that God has placed on my heart to share with you today. Would you join with me in prayer? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the power in it and the challenge it provides to us. Thank you for the response it demands and the promises it brings. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, open our eyes and minds to hear what you have to say to each one of us. Touch our hearts, Lord, so that we may be changed in some way. Help me to deliver it with clarity and at a pace you can work with. During this Advent season, give us a fresh taste of your sovereignty and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Who remembers the TV series Tales of the Unexpected? Are you all of a right age to remember that? For those of you who don't, it was a series that ran for about 9 years, and it dramatized short stories by Roald Dahl. Each episode had an unexpected twist, sometimes to the ending and sometimes in the middle. But it was something, or was always something, that you didn't quite expect. Our scripture reading today is also a story with an unexpected twist. It tells of a young girl, maybe as young as 14, who thought her life was headed in one direction, looking forward to getting married and having a family of her own, excited about her forthcoming wedding. Then, all of a sudden, an angel appears unexpectedly, and her life is turned upside down. Who knows that feeling? Everything in life is as it should be. And then wallop. Something happens that veers our lives way off the course from where we thought we were heading. If anything should spur us Christians away from predictability, it's the Christmas story. Our God is anything but predictable. We should know to expect the unexpected. At last week's evening service, when speaking about her experience in retail, Katie said, "God ruptures our expectations." And this story is a prime example of that truth. Who is this amazing, perplexing God who reveals himself in unexpected ways, in the lives of those he calls highly favored. There are two interlinking stories in the readings today. The first tells us of a virgin who learns that she is to defy nature and bear a child, and no ordinary child. This child would be the Son of the Most High God. The second is Elizabeth's story, Mary's cousin, who is also in her 6th month of a miraculous pregnancy, given that she's in her old age and was previously barren. God was keeping his salvation plan in the family. Mary and her cousin Elizabeth both had key roles to play. In these 19 verses, Mary is called favored or blessed a total of 6 times. God has broken into Mary's life in a spectacular way and is about to seriously interrupt her plans. The angel Gabriel has been sent to a specific person in a specific place at a specific time, and he has a prime role in this narrative. First, he's the messenger that's sent to tell Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, that Elizabeth will bear a son in her old age. Then Gabriel announces to Mary that she is highly favored by God and that he has chosen her to become the mother of the Messiah. Mary is described in the passage as being cautious, perplexed, thoughtful, and afraid. It's no wonder. Why would a young girl, barely more than a child, from a remote little village far from Jerusalem, be considered for such a distinctive role? 6 months earlier, when Zechariah hears Gabriel's message, he doesn't believe him and is struck dumb for the entire length of Elizabeth's pregnancy. In contrast, Mary, although she questions how it's possible she can become pregnant when she's still a virgin, submits herself completely to the Lord's will. She abandons her questions and names herself the servant of the Lord, saying, "May it be done to me as you have said." Mary's submission is a lovely thing. Whatever God says, I accept. I often think I would save myself a lot of heartache if I could be more like her. Her response is so different from ours often is. Our favourite prayer, often really meaning, "Your will be changed, our will be done." The coming Messiah, who will redeem the world, is anticipated and proclaimed. Not by high priests, not by emperors, not by any king, but by 2 marginalised pregnant women of different generations. One young, poor, and unmarried, the other beyond age to conceive. A baby leaps. Blessings are shared. Astonishment is expressed. One baby is the messenger, the other the message. Scripture tells us that Mary did experience many blessings in her role as the mother of Jesus. The reaction of the visitors to the stable to worship her son after his birth must have been astonishing. The joy of bringing up and nurturing a child who never sinned. What a joy that must have been. She had 4 other children that we know of, so if she didn't experience the terrible 2s with Jesus, I'm sure she did with them. She was a participant in his first miracle in Canaan, when he turned gallons of water into gallons of the very best red wine. She witnessed his public ministry and probably all of his amazing miracles. She had the privilege of hearing firsthand his wonderful teaching. But although Mary's task was an honor, it was also going to be peppered with struggle. To be chosen by God often means we have to wear a crown of joy and a crown of sorrow at the same time. Like Mary, following the Lord can bring blessing and pain in all sorts of ways. Like Mary, God chooses us, not to use us. To use us, he has to train us and prepare us. And that's a huge privilege, but it can also be extremely painful. But times of crisis can motivate us to move out of our comfort zone. From time to time, he calls us to follow him. It's into crisis and discomfort. Mary's story is a testament to that. Arranged marriages were still the in thing in Jewish culture at the time. Mary is betrothed to Joseph, engaged in other words. Being pregnant out of wedlock was going to be a serious problem. Did Mary think about that before she said yes? She will bring shame and disgrace upon her fiancé, her family, and her community. Her crime so severe that Jewish law allowed for her to be stoned. Will any of them believe her when she tells them what has happened? Maybe Mary figured that God would protect her and make everyone believe her story. After all, she is carrying the Messiah. God won't let any harm come to her, right? But clearly, blessing doesn't mean comfort, luxury, prosperity, and ease. For Mary, it means a difficult journey ahead with many challenges, pain, discomfort, and sometimes danger. God's blessing doesn't mean living a charmed life. Mary asked the angel Gabriel, "How can this be?" How many times must Mary have uttered those words in the days and years to come? How can this be? Her son, born in a stable, with only hay and an animal feeding trough to sleep in. How can this be? Her family uprooted in the middle of the night to flee to another country. How can this be? Her son lost for 3 whole days at the age of 12. How can this be? Her son's ministry creating so much unrest with the important religious rulers that they are trying to kill him to shut him up. How can this be? Her innocent son, the Son of God, betrayed, rejected, arrested, imprisoned, and whipped until his flesh is torn from his body. How can this be? Her broken son, nailed to a Roman cross, dead. That would be the sword that would pierce her heart. Through the blessings and burdens that Mary bore, she is reminded that her life is not her own. Her life belongs to God, something we need to remember too. One great preacher once said, "Jesus Christ came not to make life easy, but to make men great." We are ordinary. He makes us extraordinary because of his grace, because of his presence with us. God does not always make sense. In Katie's words, he ruptures our expectations. Mary encountered a God that asked her not to have everything figured out with tidy explanations and clear conclusions, but to wrestle with the mysteries of who this Messiah God really is. If, like Mary, we are close enough to Jesus to hold him, to be near to him, to be in a real relationship with him, we too will encounter mystery that cannot be explained in human terms. He is the God of the impossible. He always has been. So what does this mean for us? Gabriel calls Mary to rejoice in God's call, to abandon her fear and release her dreams in order to embrace his. Our call is no different. We are called to be confronted and changed by his love, a love not based on securing our happiness, but on his commitment to changing us into the people he created us to be. God's purpose and priority is not that we live pain-free, but rather that we come to know who he truly is. God allows us to experience the low points in life in order to teach us lessons that we can learn no other way. Our walk with God is unique, but it's often a journey towards a place we can't see, don't understand, and sometimes don't want to go. If Mary had known that one day she would see her baby boy hanging on a Roman cross, would she have submitted to God's plan? We don't know. But that's probably why God keeps the journey ahead hidden from us. Over the last few years, during a very challenging time in my personal life, I have asked God, couldn't you have spared me this meaningless and painful road? There must be an easier way. But I have come to realize that it's because of times like these that Jesus becomes more than one who provides, but the bread itself. More than the one who frees, but freedom itself. More than a way out of darkness, but light itself. Mary's journey teaches us that even through hurt and discomfort, maybe especially at those times, God is leading us to a place where we will glimpse his glory anew. Sometimes we have to travel a path we don't understand to arrive at the place God wants us to be. God can transform our everyday, sometimes boring, sometimes messed up, sometimes confusing and frustrating, sometimes doubting and imperfect life into something amazing for his glory. God sees us, he knows us, he's with us in our blessed times and in our times of challenge. I think this story offers comfort, support, and courage to all of us, but particularly for those in overwhelming circumstances. It tells us that it's okay to question whether or not, in our trials and tragedy, God's promises are real. These questions shape our faith and remind us how much is hidden from us. Is God calling you out of your comfort zone to a new adventure? Are you willing to say, like Mary, "May it be done to me as you have said"? Mary moved beyond her comfort zone and had the privilege of being the mother of Jesus. As God's people, King David says to us in Psalm 23, "Your cup runneth over with blessing." Our Christian witness should mirror that of Mary and Elizabeth, with thankful hearts, knowing that we are blessed in spite of the circumstances we might find ourselves in. God's kingdom is not about earning and deserving. It's about believing and receiving. God's priorities are the same now as they were at the Annunciation, that the world will encounter its Saviour. Amen. We're now going to sing hymn number 501, Take This Moment.
Held an Alpha course, a series of Tuesday evenings made up of a meal, a film, and a discussion. The invitation was open-ended, and I have to admit to being delighted that between 22, 25, 26 people came along every evening. The age range was from somewhere in the 20s to somewhere in the 80s. My lawyers will answer any detailed questions on that. And there wasn't a preset outcome. It was simply an invitation for folk to explore the Christian faith, whether as agnostics, curious to look at the foundational claims of our gospel, or as disciples, simply wanting to check the foundations, give faith a spiritual MOT. After 10 or so Tuesday evenings, and an away day, one Saturday, to the distant corners of West Hill, it was generally concluded that this Alpha had been a very worthwhile journey for those who had climbed on board. And some of those people now wish to reaffirm their faith or declare that faith for the very first time. In a society where relativism is God, and where religion is frequently paraded as intolerant and unintelligent, there is something beautiful and joyful and life-embracing about thoughtful, reflective adults saying that the love of God and the justice of God's kingdom, revealed wonderfully in the life of Jesus of Nazareth, is at the heart of all life, in its beauty and in its brokenness. Debbie Gordon is going to explain how Alpha has helped her to reassess and value the gift of faith.
I would like to tell you a little about my own experience with Alpha. I'm blessed. I've always been involved with the church family. I have memories going way back of being in church and at Sunday school, so Jesus is someone I feel I've known about forever. I joined the church in my teens. It was the expected thing to do. We were married in church and had all the children baptized. As I say, I've gone to church all my life. I've prayed. I tried to teach my children good Christian values, but I must admit, I didn't feel terribly emotionally involved with it all. I first heard about Alpha when we were living in Abu Dhabi 20 years ago. I went to St. Andrew's Church there, an Anglican church which embraces Christians of all traditions and nationalities. The Alpha course is designed to give people an opportunity to ask many questions about God, Jesus, and faith. By making people interested in faith and in making faith relevant to everyday life and the problems we all encounter in life. So I joined the Alpha course. And for me, it was one of the most important things I ever did. It made me totally rethink my whole life. It almost felt that previously I had only been playing a part. Now I was ready to listen to God and to respond in a way I never had before. I began to really think of God as my Father and Jesus as someone I loved, a friend I could talk to, read about, and turn to in prayer. So when Ewan said we were going to have an Alpha course here at Cults, I thought, brilliant idea. Be good to revisit it for me and maybe help others who were new to it. But to my amazement, I felt that the relationship I had with God grew even deeper. As Ewan said, we were quite a mixed bunch of people, and I was amazed at the number of folk who I thought were such good and solid Christians. What could the Alpha course offer them? But I came to realize over the Tuesday nights when we got together that there is always something more to learn about the love of God and the way he works around us and through us, and sometimes despite us. Each week we ate together and got to know each other a little better. We watched a short film and then had the opportunity to ask questions. Over the weeks, as we got more comfortable in each other's company, we would listen to others ask questions. Questions that I had never thought of, or I had, but I never got answers to. We didn't all agree all the time, but that didn't matter. We listened, we shared, and we laughed together. And at the end of the 10 weeks or so, we didn't want it to end. I'm not saying in any way I became a better person. I'm still very much working on that. But my love for Jesus and my love and compassion for others has grown deeper. Thank you.
As I call your name, would you please stand? Helen Davison, Debbie Gordon, Dorothy McClellan, Sheila Meyer, Anne Middleton, Sheila Smith, and Fiona Stone. Sometimes we find faith dramatically, you know, the call to come forward. And sometimes we lose faith slowly, 100 disappointments. And sometimes the seed of faith burrows deep, often in the most unlikely soil, and against all odds, sometimes over many years, It blossoms in the lives we live. Its flower can be admired. It is there for all to see. And that is what we acknowledge today. Do you believe that at the heart of this world, in spite of its pain and strife, do you believe that there is a loving God reaching out to you and all humanity through Jesus Christ? Will you open your heart wide to the wisdom of God's Holy Spirit so that the one who is the artist of all that is beautiful, tender, forgiving, and courageous can make something beautiful in your life? Will you take your place in this untidy gathering of brothers and sisters, Christ's church, united not by age or gender or politics or profession, but by the grace of God who loves you just as you are and loves you no less for what you yet might be? Will you seek to live a life which reflects the love and compassion, generosity and mischief of Almighty God? Will you seek to make a difference in this world? Finally, will you feed your faith, nurture it through prayer and worship, through fellowship and contemplation, walking with Christ and seeking the kingdom come? Would you come forward and kneel, please? Debbie, our Lord says, I have come that you might have life, life in all its fullness. Anne, our Lord says, I have come that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Sheila, the scriptures say, I will give you a new heart and a new mind. I will take away your stubborn heart of stone and give you an obedient heart, and you will walk my paths. Sheila, the scriptures say, I will put my spirit upon you, and I will see to it that you follow my laws and my commands. Fiona, the prophet says, do not cling to the events of the past or dwell on what happened long ago. Watch for the new thing I am going to do. It is happening already. Dorothy, the fruit of God's Holy Spirit is love and joy, peace and patience. Helen, the fruit of God's Spirit is kindness and goodness, faithfulness, kindness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Would you please stand? Normally I would say to our congregation, come and congratulate these people on discovering anew or discovering for the first time the love of God at the heart of all things. But there's been a lot going on this morning, so I'm going to ask you to go back to your seat, and when we go for coffee, seek these people out and welcome them once again into this untidy thing, which is the family of Christ at Kaltskirk. Please sit down. There is a possibility that in spring we may have another Alpha. If that is something that anyone is interested in, speak to me about it between now and then. These are just possibilities. We gather an offering for the work of God's church in the world. Let us pray. Mighty sovereign God, we praise you on this Advent Sunday. We praise you as protecting, powerful Father. We praise you as gentle, caring Mother. You have touched each one of us, and this is our response. This is why we are here. You bless us with your fathomless love, granting us a vision of your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, shedding light in our darkness, bridges for barricades. Bless and disturb us, Lord God, with a vision of your kingdom here, now, against all odds, in the lives we live, in this world we live in. We pray for those caught up in countless wars across our planet. Soldiers, civilians, refugees and orphans. And we pray for those who work against all odds for peace. Talking, negotiating, reasoning, pleading, praying. We pray for those we know well who are ill. Coping with pain, not wanting to make a fuss. Frightened inside, but defiant and determined to live the new day. And we pray, Lord, no less for those who bring healing. The surgeon with knife and technology, the nurse with medicines and tenderness, those who massage, those who touch, those who use ancient skills with wise and generous hearts, the visitors who listen, the disciple who prays and offers his life as a channel of God's grace. And we pray for friends and loved ones who struggle in their closest relationships, especially in this season when the cracks of broken hearts are barely disguised by fairy lights and Christmas paper. This is our world, Lord, messy, painful, broken, beautiful. Into this world, a child has come and will come again, seeking love and giving love. And so, stable King, we will pin our hopes on you. For you have been where we are. You have lived the life we live now. And love has won the day. Amen. We close our worship singing hymn 277, Hark the Glad Sound, 277. Now go from this place in peace. Go rejoicing in the love and the goodness of God. And the blessing of this mighty God, the strength of the Father, the companionship of the Son, and the peace of the Spirit be with you and with those who are precious to you this day and always.